Hello, everybody. Happy New Year and welcome. I hope you all had a really nice break. I hope you took a little bit of a break. I hope you had happy holidays if you were celebrating. And I'm just wishing all of you so much love and happiness and satisfaction and prosperity in this new year. And I just feel really honored to be walking your path with you this year. So thank you for the privilege. So today we are going to dive into our second creating awareness training call. Last session before the break, if you remember, we really explored one piece of creating awareness. I call it reflecting the truth. And when we went deep into that, and then today we're going to go deep into the very important sub skills of creating awareness, the sub skills of acknowledging, honoring, and celebrating. And these skills, even if you're a really seasoned practitioner and are already doing this really well, these skills, if you're going to do them in an advanced level, in a deep way, they've got more than meets the eye. So I think you're going to find what we look at today really juicy. Before we get to acknowledging and honoring and celebrating, there are a couple of pieces that I just wanted to mention to kind of close the loop from reflecting the truth. There are a few pieces I didn't get to, and then some questions that came up from some of you during the break. They were really great questions, and I wanted to answer that. So the first is around pre-framing. And I posted about this in Facebook, but I have this like weird anxiety with our group that people aren't seeing things in the Facebook group. Or maybe you guys are just a particular quiet group when it comes to Facebook. But I just wanted to make sure that you got this point because it's a really important one. So I'm just going to repeat it here. If you're using the reflecting the truth tools that I shared on our last call, and you know that you're about to reflect a truth with a client that has the potential to be hard for that client or triggering for that client or uncomfortable for that client or make them angry or feel, you know, weird or feel shame or anything like that, I don't want you to shy away from reflecting the truth. It's really important to reflect it, but what I want you to keep in mind is the skill of pre-framing. So pre-framing, there's a great, I'll get there in a second. So what is pre-framing? Pre-framing is literally, you know, contextualizing, framing something before you share it, right? So let me give you examples because you'll get what I mean when I give you examples. So for example, you can say something like, I'm noticing a pattern that I'd like to share with you, right? We already looked at that in step one of reflecting the truth, right? I'm noticing a pattern that I'd like to share with you. But here's the pre-framing part. When I first mention this pattern, it might have the potential to piss you off, but it really feels important to me for us to look at it together. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? And if what I share pisses you off, just let me know, right? So I pre-framed it there. I already called out the resistance before the client had the opportunity to go into the resistance. What that does is it already sets the stage for, you know, to kind of ease the resistance so it doesn't come up because you're calling it out beforehand. And number two, what it shows the client is if you get angry or you get upset or you get triggered, that's safe here. It's okay. It doesn't mean that anything wrong happened. This is part of the coaching process, right? So here's just another example with languaging for pre-framing. There's something I'm noticing about what you've been sharing with me that you might not be aware of, right? That, again, that's part of step one from reflecting the truth from last time. You know, would you be open to me sharing it with you? That's all part of it. And then when the client says yes, you can say, great. So this might sound a little odd or weird or maybe even make you feel uncomfortable at first, but bear with me, right? And then share with the client the truth that you'd like to reflect. So when you pre-frame, like I said, you're already calling out the resistance or the trigger before your client has a chance to go into the resistance or to be triggered, and it can be a really powerful tool to help avoid the resistance and the trigger, or at the very least, it's like a way to beforehand help your clients become aware of her reactions. And like I said, it also signals to your client that their anger, their reaction, whatever it is totally welcome in the container, and that you're strong enough, the container can handle it, it's totally normal. So there's a great saying that I often share in the Into the Depths facilitator training, because we go deep into pre-framing when you're working with groups. It's a really important skill. There's a lot of different layers to it, and there's a great quote. I don't know who said it originally, but I just love it so much. I'll share it with you guys here. An ounce of pre-framing is worth a pound of reframing. An ounce of pre-framing is worth a pound of reframing. And what that means is it takes so much less energy, time, agita, all of that to pre-frame something, like the way that I've been talking about the last few minutes, than to not do it, have somebody get triggered, and then have to go back and reframe it. All right, excellent. So that was the first piece that I wanted to mention before we get into acknowledging. But there are a couple of others. We got a question over email that I thought was a really great question. And it was, what do you do when you've got a client who is, you're coaching them, right? You're not in consulting mode. So it's not that you're consulting them on their, you know, like a diet or a marketing plan or whatever your expertise is. You're not consulting, but in that moment you're really doing coaching. What do you do when a client asks you to give your opinion? You know, when they ask, well, what do you think about that? When you're kind of asking them a question to help them get to their own truth. It's such a great question. It will come up. Sometimes a client, you know, when you're in the process of helping them find what their truth is, they're going to want to know what your opinion is. Now, different trainings are going to answer this question differently. Some trainings are going to say, under no circumstance should you ever give a client your opinion on a situation or, you know, whatever comes up. I don't personally agree with that. There are some times where I will give my opinion. And it's a personal coach for, it's a personal choice for you as a coach. It's about, you know, what your style is going to be. But here's some things that I'll just share from my experience on giving my opinion. Again, when you're not consulting. Number one, if you're going to give your opinion, you don't want to do it very often, you know, because then it's going to veer away from coaching and into, you know, I think of like the old Charlie Brown cartoons where like Snoopy's just giving out advice for 5 cents, right? It's not very empowering to a client to always be giving them your opinion on a situation, right? So you don't want to do it too often. But that being said, from my philosophy, from my point of view and my experience, sometimes what your client, I think what your client may need from you is for you to tell them what you think about a situation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And this can sometimes be particularly helpful if your client is having trouble seeing their own blind spots, their obstacles, their weaknesses or their strengths, or just having trouble seeing a situation clearly because of old patterning. So if I do it, if a client asks and it does feel appropriate for me to give my opinion, I do it as part of, under the umbrella, if you will, of creating awareness and reflecting the truth. So what that means is this. First of all, I just make sure to ask as many relevant and breakthrough questions as I can first, because hopefully the client will come to the awareness themselves before they, you know, get to the point of asking me my opinion. But if they still do end up asking me my opinion, then again, I approach it with all of the principles that we spoke about in our last class. I'm not going to approach it as I'm the guru, right? I'm not going to guru them. I'm going to be willing to be wrong or understand that my opinion isn't necessarily what's right for them. And more than telling them, you should do this or do that, the opinion that I'm going to give is more about reflecting, right? Reflecting the truth that I see, the blind spots that I see, the higher perspectives that I see, the opportunities that I see. Now, sometimes if I sense that a client is asking me their opinion, I may sense that it would actually, I'm not quite sure if it's going to be empowering to that client for me to give them my opinion. Or maybe I'm wondering if they're asking me this question to distract from their own, owning their own wisdom or their own truth. So in those situations, before I actually give my opinion, I'm going to ask a question like, you know, I might say something like, I'm happy to tell you what I think, but first just let me ask you, why do you want to hear my opinion? Or how will my opinion help? Or how will you use my feedback? Right? So that's that. I wanted to just address that because I think it's a situation that comes up sometimes in coaching. And now here's the last piece before we get to acknowledging. In our last session, we kind of got the harder reflecting the truth skills out of the way, right? We looked at kind of some of the, if it makes a client uncomfortable or in their blind spot, or, you know, whatever it is. But there's also another way to easily create awareness and reflect the truth that a lot of situations are going to call for. And here is another way to reflect the truth. So after a client shares something significant or something with a lot of details, right? You know, sometimes clients, you'll ask a question or even at the beginning what's your intention? A client will speak a lot, right? Or after a client that shares something really significant, here's what I'll do. Before I move on to asking any questions or going deeper or anything like that, I'll say, let's pause here for a moment. This is what I'm hearing, and I want to make sure that I'm getting it right. And then from there, I'll just reflect what I'm hearing. And in that reflection, I'll emphasize the most important parts that are wanting emphasis. I'll use a lot of the client's own language, while also, as we looked at last session, inserting words or other new words or phrases in order to reflect the truth, right? So it's just, let's pause. A client has just said something important or spoken things with a lot of details or a lot of pieces, and you need to kind of get organized around it, or you're, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff kind of thing. So you just say, let's pause here for a moment. Want to share what I'm hearing and make sure that I'm getting it right. And then you reflect back the most important pieces. to that client. This is such a beautiful, powerful, and elegantly simple and effective way to help your client feel seen, heard, and loved, as well as to create awareness, like we spoke about last time, of those blind spots, of those strengths, of the things that the client isn't seeing or acknowledging. Because sometimes clients can speak the truth. They'll share the truth with you. They're talking it, but they haven't fully taken it in. I want to pause on this for a moment. This is really important. We've all done this, and we've all heard other people do this. They'll actually share a truth, right? An important piece of their story or of who they are or celebration, whatever it is. They'll speak it, but they haven't fully owned it or taken it in. And just through this simple, let's pause here for a moment. I want to reflect back to you what I'm hearing. Tell me if I'm getting it right and then doing it. What it does is it's this mirroring technique. That's really what it is. You're mirroring, right? It's a mirroring technique that will give your client space and opportunity to be able to really take their truth into themselves deeply. And I'll just, share briefly here that mirroring is such a powerful tool. I use mirroring so frequently when I'm coaching, and this very simple little method that I'm teaching with you at least once in every coaching session probably that I've ever had, if not more. And the reason is because that it's been scientifically proven that mirroring helps people, supports people to become more of themselves, to become more secure, to become more confident. So there have been a lot of studies, maybe you've even read some of them, that have been done with babies, right? And the importance of parents mirroring babies' facial expressions. This is pre-verbal even, right? If a baby smiles, you smile back. If the baby grimaces, you grimace back. If the baby laughs, you laugh back. What the mirroring does is it validates the baby. And in feeling self-validated in their expression and in who they become more validated in who they are. There have been studies that have been done that actually show that adults respond the same exact way to babies. We actually biologically have inside of us what scientists call mirroring neurons that help us feel better when people are mirroring back our words, our expressions, our postures, language, tone, all of that. As a side note, I'll just say this is mirroring is also an incredibly effective tool for enrollment conversations. I use it all the time, and it really supports if the sale is aligned to make the sale. Mirroring is a way that we can help our clients really see themselves. All right, so this was actually all the appetizer. Everything I just shared on the call so far was kind of like the appetizer before getting into acknowledging, honoring, celebrating. But I did just talk a lot, and I just want to check in before we move on if there are any questions or anything you want to share about anything that I just shared. Star 2, any questions that you have on what I just shared? Or any ahas from it? No? All right. So then I'll move on. All right. So we're going to spend the rest of our call looking at the very important and powerful skill of acknowledging, which I really consider to be a creating awareness skill. And we're going to look at acknowledging. I see acknowledging, there's kind of two branches of it or two different skill sets that fall under acknowledging. And the first is acknowledging as a way of honoring what is. And then the second is as an acknowledging as a way of celebrating what is. So we're going to look at honoring first. Let's talk about honoring what is. So what does that even mean? Well, kind of obvious, right? We sort of know what honoring what is, but I'll share it. When we are able to acknowledge a client by honoring what is, we're helping the client feel confirmed or validated in what they're feeling or experiencing. We are supporting our client to know that they have a right to feel the way that they're feeling. Because oftentimes, and I'm sure you've experienced this before in yourself or in others, we feel how we feel about a certain situation. Maybe we're angry about something that happened or frustrated or excited about something, but we feel like we don't have the right to. Oh, that wasn't a big enough deal to be excited about, or I shouldn't really get angry about that, or you know, whatever it is. When we honor what is, it helps our clients feel validated and confirmed and know that they have a right to feel how they're feeling. It helps them know that they're not weird or abnormal for struggling in the ways that they struggle. And, you know, as a side note, that's one of the things that can take us or our clients down the most. It's usually not the actual, how do I want to say this? Like the missed goal, if you will, right? If we go for a goal, whatever it is, inner or outer, and we don't quite make it, or we really don't make it, it's usually not the missed goal that causes the problem. What actually causes the problem is when we feel abnormal or wrong for missing the goal, or how we feel about missing the goal. That's what then causes inaction, self-judgment, which then leads to, you know, not taking aligned actions, you know, whatever it is, right? So when we can really effectively as coaches honor what is, we help our clients know that they're not strange or abnormal for their struggles, or for feeling what they feel about their struggles. When we can honor what is, we help clients accept themselves and their situations more fully. We help them trust themselves more fully, and we help them feel nourished. So let me give you some practical examples of acknowledging by honoring what is. So, example number one, let's say a client is sharing something with you. Maybe it's they're having a conversation with their partner, and out of nowhere, their partner just like dropped a bomb about something. And your client just like freaked out about it, and she's sharing with you that she's judging herself because she freaked out about it, or you know she's upset because her partner was upset that she freaked out about it, whatever. But you know, if I'm listening and it really sounds like a bomb was dropped, you know, as the coach, and excuse my potty mouth, but I might say, you know what, that would have surprised the shit out of me too, right? Now, we would go on to look at how she responded, why she was, you know, all of those different things. But just by saying, you know, that would have really surprised and freaked me out too, it helps the client feel more validated, not feel so bad or weird about herself. here's another example. Let's say a client is sharing about a situation where she really thought she was going to reach a goal, but she didn't, and X happened, and Y happened, and Z happened, and she's just, like, so upset, but maybe isn't naming that she's frustrated, right? Maybe she hasn't said, you know, I'm just so frustrated, but she's just going into self-judgment because of all of the things that happened. I might say, you know, that must have been really frustrating for you, for that to happen, right? It's a way of honoring what is. That is a frustrating situation. It makes sense that you're frustrated. Or that was really tough, right? That was a really tough situation, right? Maybe a client is being really hard on themselves because they didn't, you know, whatever they didn't do. I'll give a great example from my own life recently. I was in a minor car accident over the break. I won't get into all of the details, but it was the other people's fault, but they were just jerks. They were claiming it was my fault, and they were just terrible. I mean, they were screaming and all of that. And both John and my father were in the car when this happened. Anyway, let me not digress. I am a normally calm person, but these people were such jerks. Screaming back at them, even though I really afterwards felt badly that I did. And I was telling John, like, I was really beating up on myself afterwards, like, I can't believe I didn't maintain my calm. You know, I called them jerks to their faces. I just hate how I acted in that situation. And, you know, he said to me, he's like, yeah, you know, I get it. And also, they really were jerks, and that really was a tough situation. And I probably, and John is like the master of cool, he was like, I probably would have responded the same way, right? Just him honoring what was, that it was a tough situation, that they were jerks, you know, like all of that, it just allowed me to not be so hard on myself. Here's another example of honoring the truth. I know that you worked so hard on that project, and it's really normal to be disappointed that A, B, or C didn't happen. Just that honoring what is, right, that it's normal to be disappointed, it helps take some of the ickiness out of it. And then here are some other types of examples. So I think last year at the one of the facilitator trainings, one of the participants, we were doing a very deep exercise around our mothers and our maiden selves. And one of the participants was sharing afterwards, and she was sharing about her mother, and she was sharing just how frustrated she was with her mother. But I could feel in all of the sharing and in her frustration and in her anger, there was something else there going on for her that wasn't letting her feel settled, that wasn't letting her feel at peace. And I just paused and I looked straight at this client and I just said to her, I really hear that you love your mother so much. That's all I said, right? I didn't go on to explain what I meant by that or how her love for her mother was getting in her way of her healthy anger, like any of that. I just said, I can really hear, I can really see that you love your mother so much. And just in that simple honoring of what is, honoring of that truth that the client wasn't even fully owning for herself, she had a total breakdown from that, but it was a cleansing breakdown, right? She emerged from that so much stronger. She could hold more of the complexity of this situation with her mother. Another example of honoring the truth, you know, you might be listening to a client sharing about their situation, and you may make the following comment. it really sounds like you've moved beyond that relationship, right? Just honoring what is. Or here's another example. I'll give one or two more. Sounds like you really held your composure in a way that most people couldn't, right? Just honoring what is. Or it sounds like you really gave that your best shot, honoring what is. So when you are, as a coach, really honoring what is, your client will feel much more seen, heard, and loved, and they'll feel much more deeply connected to you as their coach, and more connection to you means they're going to ultimately have more vulnerability and willingness to have a breakthrough. When you can really honor what is, you're supporting your client to really see a truth. And then it kind of gives you the green light in the coaching container to process what needs to be processed and then deal with it, take action if need be. When we can honor what is, then our clients, because remember, this is a form of acknowledging, right? So when we acknowledge by honoring what is, our clients can acknowledge and honor their own experiences and feelings and then literally or metaphorically take a deep sigh of relief. They don't have to pretend about A, B, or C anymore. They can be with themselves in full honesty. They can come out of hiding with themselves and then eventually with others. They don't have to be in their shame when we honor what is. And again, and we'll get to this later in the training, you know, in a couple months, but shame is another one of those biggies. It goes back to what I was saying before about how, like, missing the goal isn't the problem. It's how we feel about missing the goal, right? When we can honor what is and then move from the shame, that's when so much progress can happen. So really, when we're acknowledging by honoring what is, one of the things that we're doing is empathizing. And sometimes, not always, but kind of frequently, our clients actually need empathizing. They need our empathy way more than what we traditionally think of as coaching, you know, the rooting them on, the strategizing, the asking questions. Of course, those are so important. I don't want to underestimate those things. But sometimes what a client really needs is just the very powerful and loving and the powerful and loving experience of being empathized with. I once heard, and this was from my own coach training, you know, decade and a half ago, the phrase or the sentence, I love this, coaching is love in action in a professional setting. I'm going to say that again because I think this is actually really profound, and this is really one of the foundational pieces of my own coaching philosophy, of sacred depths coaching philosophy, and of who I am as a coach. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. So this may sound so obvious to some of you, right? But I'm emphasizing this because I actually think it's so profound. If nothing else, as a coach, as a facilitator, as a practitioner, as a teacher, the bedrock of the container And the energetics for me is that I know my job, one of my most important jobs as the coach, is to love on my clients fiercely. That might sound a little hippy-dippy or woo-woo, and if it does to you, definitely, I'll open up for questions in a little bit or reflections, and you'll want to hear it. But I don't think it's hippy or woo-woo at all. We go back to what we looked at in week one, or maybe it was week two. You know, what our clients want most is to feel seen, heard, and loved. Acknowledging, empathizing, by honoring what is a way of loving on our clients. All right, so a couple of points on how to honor what is when you're working with clients. So every coach has their own style and their own energy. And I'm going to pause on that one for a moment because I don't think we've really spoken about that yet. When you hear me coach, and I'll, throughout the program, I'll do a little bit of modeling, coaching modeling. The point isn't to do it the way that I do it or with the energy that I do it in. I mean, it might be that you have a similar energy to me or style to me. That's great. But you always want to fully be yourself and fully be authentic when you're coaching. Everybody has their own style and their own energy. So, for me, honoring what is, I'm usually, serious sacred with kind of a potty mouth, right? But that may not be your style, and that's totally okay, right? So use your own style and your own energy. What I do find is important when you're honoring what is, across the board, whatever your style and energy is to give it space. So, when I'm saying something like, I really see that you love your mother so much, I'm going to say that a little slowly, and I'm going to leave space around it. I'm not going to say something quickly right after that. I'm going to say something like, you've really moved beyond that relationship. Again, not going to ask a follow-up question right away or even say anything else right away. I'm going to give it space. I'm going to give the client an opportunity to let this honoring sink in, right? Again, honoring what is, we don't honor things quickly. Anything that we try to do quickly, we don't really integrate in. It's not a real honoring. If we're truly going to be honoring, and I particularly use the word honoring here, right? Again, because this is about helping clients. You think about the act of honoring someone, right? It's there's a little bit of a seriousness to it. We want to give space for things to really sink in. You want to consider the tone of voice the honoring needs. And I think most of you in this training are working over the phone, although some of you might be doing video, but in particular, if you're doing this in person, and especially I talk about this a lot in facilitation, when you're honoring what is, you really want to look your client straight in the face. All right, so let's pause here, and I'd love to hear what you're learning. Actually, let's take a moment and just write down what's a takeaway that is really important for you personally, for yourself, and as a coach when it comes to honoring what is. Acknowledging is a way of honoring what is. Just take a moment and write that down. What's your takeaway so far around honoring what is? How And how can this be helpful for you in your practice? Think of maybe some particular clients. If you're not working with a lot of clients, think about friends, family members, that sort of thing. Just take a moment there with one client that you maybe haven't been honoring what is enough with them or could be doing it more powerfully and how. All right, and so I'd love to hear what you're learning, what you're taking away, what questions you have so far before we move on to celebrating. So star two. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
It's funny because I originally raised my hand, but late on the other section. And now I think I answered my question. So I'm just going to have it as a takeaway here and see what you think. So one of the things that I find hard is sometimes I have a call where a client just clearly needs to get a lot of stuff off their chest. They just, oh my God, and then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, especially about work.
Mm-hmm.
And they just obviously need someone to hear it all. And I sometimes end those calls thinking, God, did I help at all? Because she just talked, you know, and I want to stop and interject and, you know, reframe and, you know, say all that with her. But I think the second part, what I just got was something just being with them in that journey and honoring what is, wow, that sounds really hard. And doing a lot of that empathizing and loving while I listen to them might just be enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I two reflections on that. First of all, yes, 100%. It's actually more than enough a lot of the time. But here's the important piece. If that is what the client's intention is. So this actually goes back to intention setting.
Uh-huh.
And why intention setting is so important. Sometimes a client, and I have had this every now and again, what you're talking about, where someone is just like, I've had the shittiest 2 weeks ever, and I just need to use this space as a container. And for you to, right, I've trained them, right? They might say, like, and for you to hear me, or whatever it is. And it's like, great, that's what the intention is, and then I'm going to be using all of these reflecting the truth, creating awareness skills, the ones from last week, and honoring what is, and we'll get to celebrating. And that's the purpose of the call, and that's the intention, and it's exactly what they need. But if a client comes into a call and their intention is, I want to figure out this particular situation at work, and they're just, you guys have established that's what this client wants, but then she's like really unloading, you actually may want to pause and say, I can hear that this is so helpful for you to share all of this, but I did just want to pause because I know that your original intention was that you wanted to sort out X situation at work, and I feel like we've veered away from that a little bit. You know, what's most important here for you?
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Okay, yes. Yes, it is. I mean, the call, I just had a call right before this where basically she did this, and I'm remembering we didn't actually set an intention.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular client, I think sometimes she doesn't set an intention when she wants to just talk. So I think I have to validate that that is an appropriate intention.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So it's important to validate that. If that is true for her, if it's not just a way of avoiding forward movement, you may want to look at that, create some awareness and look at that patterning and see how that's really working for her. But it may be that she just needs them. But the other thing, and this is important for you, Kelsey, everybody on this call, this is why at the beginning of the of Sacred Depths, I talk about setting intentions. Don't let your clients out of it. This is a leadership an important leadership skill for you as the coach, because if you're not on the same page on long-term intentions as well as short-term, meaning for the session with your client, they may get to the end of either the session or the coaching cycle and be like, what did I get? What was this for? What did I get from this?
Right, right, right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So glad you brought all that forward. Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks. Sophia.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question for the previous question.
Yeah.
With the intentions. Yeah, a lot of the times when clients have resistance, it's because of a lot of emotions that they have around the issue. And I'm kind of wanting your feedback on what is the best way to let them, you know, have that processing space, but also not let it take up so much time so that we can actually, like, because I don't, you know, like, I'm afraid that if we go into it for a long time that they won't be able to, you know, go on to, like, the taking action stuff and, you know, that other part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, such a great question. And the answer is use your creating awareness skills. So what I mean by that is, like, I pretty much am always telling the client what I'm thinking, if it's relevant, right? So if, like, if that's the situation, I would pause the client and say, you know, I'm so glad you're sharing all of this. I am also conscious of time, and I know that you wanted to get to X, Y, and Z. And also, I just, like, I have this little sense that maybe you're distracting from getting to X, Y, and Z because that's a little harder to look at. What are your thoughts here? Would you be willing to kind of move on to, you know, whatever the thing is? Does that answer your question?
Totally. I think I would probably ask them, you know, how much time do you want to devote to speaking about this topic? And then kind of remind them of the overall intention of the session and the coaching thing so that they can make an empowered choice.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, asking them about the time is a great thing. Like, how much longer would you like to spend on this? And every now and again, I might also say, you know, my sense is let's spend another 3 minutes on this and then move on, you know, whatever it is, right? So sometimes you can suggest, sometimes you can ask, depending on what's appropriate in the moment. Beautiful.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Who else? I'd love to hear one more share. What are you seeing and taking away so far from honoring what is? Heather.
Hi.
Hi.
So what's coming up for me here is that I'm noticing I sometimes have a pattern, especially at the beginning of relationships, coaching relationships, kind of all relationships, of it takes me a while to feel like we've developed a deeper connection.
Yeah.
And as we're talking about this acknowledging and honoring, I'm thinking, you know, it takes me a while to get there, to that point where I am more specific. Like, I do honor things, but I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, and I don't really elaborate on what exactly, what precisely I'm acknowledging on them. So I'm thinking that this is something for me to work with and look at, you know, how I can use this to develop a deeper connection more quickly in the first sessions with clients.
Yes, I'm so glad you can see that, and I'm so glad you're sharing with it, because this is such an effective way to create that container, that really strong, powerful container more quickly, and to develop the trust and the intimacy and the closeness. And, you know, every situation is different, but again, in me, like sharing before, you know, I usually just share what's on my mind. You know, if I'm in a new relationship with a client And we haven't totally established yet, but there's something that I really want to honor or really reflect. You know, sometimes I might, if it's in those first few sessions, I might say, you know, I know that we don't know each other very well yet, or I know we're not in full rhythm yet, you know, whatever it is, but I did really just want to share that, and then, you know, I'll share what it is. And again, that's a pre-framing thing, right? Like, I know we're not in it totally yet, but it just feels really important to share. That alone can then create more intimacy. Because it's just, it's honoring what is. We're at the beginning here. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Awesome. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad you brought that up. Hey, I'll take one or two more. I'm not sure. Is this Ruth?
Hello, Joanna.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I think what's been coming up for me is honoring silence. Mm. And, yeah, because I have a tendency to just want to, like, try to break the silence. And I'm starting to learn that silence is just as important as anything else that I say. So, yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, how do you get over that uncomfortable feeling when there's, like, a long pause?
Yeah, I think it's about, well, you tell me, what is the truth that you know about a long pause?
Okay.
No, I'm actually What is the higher truth when there's a long pause from a client?
Yeah, I guess I'm starting to realize that they are processing whatever is being communicated.
Yeah, so if you get uncomfortable when there's a silence, just remind yourself of that truth. This client, we just hit on something really important right now, and this client needs a moment to process. This is an awesome thing that's happening. She's taking something in on a much deeper level. And just remind yourself of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great. And then I'll take this last chair. Who is this? From California? 2809.
Oh, hi, Joanna. It's Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. I was just noticing in myself how important it is to honor myself. I think I kind of have a way of letting that slip by. And if I don't honor myself, then how can I truly deeply honor or hold the space of honoring for my clients and people in my life, friends and family? And I notice if I wrote in the notes, I wrote, it means letting go of my ego and a part of me that wants acknowledgement for myself. So if I'm not in the space of honoring someone, it's probably because I'm needing that for myself.
yes, we're going
to
get to
so
that
I need
in a little bit
more.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's such perfect segue into where we're going next. But it's so true. You know, the more that we as coaches can honor, and we'll get to celebrating in just a moment. You know, remember, honoring what is a little different than celebrating. But the more that we as coaches can honor inside of us, ourselves, our anger, our frustration, our disappointment, our curiosity, our love, whatever it is, the more we can really own that for ourselves, then the more able we're really to do that and hold space for that kind of honoring for our clients. It's so true. So glad you're bringing that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so let's continue. We've still got a bit today. So we looked at one way of acknowledging so far, by honoring what is. The other way of acknowledging, or the other type of acknowledging, I should say, is by celebrating our clients. So I know for everything, I'm like, this is one of the most important skills you can have, but I really feel like celebrating is also one of the most important skills you can have as a coach. It is just what I've seen in my experience, truly such an effective and powerful way to help clients reach their goals and to feel self-satisfied. And celebrating is a vital, vital part of my coaching practice and how I operate with my clients. So, you know, when I say celebrating, what I mean is like celebrating our clients' successes and growth and forward movements and mindset shifts and all of the ways on the inner and outer level that they're moving forward. So here's what I've kind of come to learn, and check this out if this feels like a truth for you. Success, however you want to define success, and successful actions stem from what's working, from being able to acknowledge and see and own what's working and what's going well. The more we actually focus, I see this in my own life and in my own business just for myself, the more that I focus on what my resources are, what's working, what's going well, then the more successful I'm able to be. When I get hyper-focused on what's not happening, what I didn't accomplish. Now, we want to strategically look at why things aren't getting accomplished, all of that. Yes, there's a place for that in coaching. We'll get there on a future call. But the more we or our clients focus on what's not going well or what didn't happen, then the less they focus on what is going well and what they have accomplished, and then the more frustrated they get. When we can focus on what's going really well, when we can really acknowledge, like celebrate what's going well and support our clients to own it, then our clients are able to more easily cultivate confidence, more easily cultivate self-love, more easily cultivate self-compassion, more easily cultivate hope and satisfaction. And all of those things lead to motivation. All of those things lead to being more connected to our inner wisdom. All of those things lead to being more in the realm of positive energy, as opposed to trying to build on the negative, which is really about fear motivating our actions. Right? So if any of you are familiar with a school of thought that's called growth mindset. And if you're not, I recommend looking it up. I'll post some links in the Facebook group. But if you know anything about growth mindset, which there's been a lot of research and writing on in the last, almost the last decade, you know, 5 to 10 years, something like that, there's just so much research and study shows that strengths are built on strengths. Growth is built on acknowledging growth. When you can help clients leverage their assets, it's actually way more powerful than helping them fix their deficiencies. I'm going to say that again. This might be a little controversial. It's okay if you don't agree with me. But check it out for yourself. Helping your clients leverage their assets and their strengths is actually way more powerful and effective than spending time helping them fix their deficiencies. Now, I'll just look at that in the realm of business coaching. But you apply it to whatever you're working on with your clients, right? So what does that mean? Well, it means that if I've got a client who is incredible when they're in person with people, they're like the life of the party, you know, anytime they're in person with a group of people, they are just going to shine. But someone who like doesn't really love social media tends to shy away online, that kind of thing. It's going to be so much more effective if we're looking to build this person's business to focus on how she can get in-person speaking gigs, how she can lead in-person preview workshops, how she can go to in-person networking groups, that kind of thing. That's going to yield so much more than spending so much effort helping her be stronger online. Now, that doesn't mean that we never broach the online topic at all. It doesn't mean that at all. But even when we broach the online topic, maybe we're going to look at interactive video, right? Because she shines when she's actually with people and gets the feedback from people, you know, or we're gonna gear all of the strategies to her strengths, not towards fixing the deficiencies. But before we can even do that, because, you know, sometimes a client might come in, and again, apply this to whatever your expertise is, like sometimes a client will come in and just want to do all the internet stuff, right? If I haven't actually taken the time to use the creating awareness skill of acknowledging by celebrating and really celebrating that she's incredible in person, then she's not going to go for any of the strategy I tell her, right? We have to create that awareness first. So our job isn't only to celebrate our clients' successes and strengths, but our job is also to help our clients internalize the skill of being able to acknowledge and celebrate themselves. I'm going to say that again. This is a little bit of a different idea, but it's related. So, yes, our job as coaches is to celebrate when there's a forward movement, when, you know, when there's something to celebrate, inner or outer, to, you know, to help see resources, you know, all of that. But I really believe that the coaching container is, I don't want to say this. I just lost the words that I was going to use. The coaching container is instructive in and of itself. What does that mean? So, yes, in a particular session, you may help a client celebrate a new romantic relationship that they've finally created, that they've been desiring for a long time. And then maybe in the next session, you know, you may help that client celebrate that she's sticking to her boundaries in that new relationship. Yes to those things, but the other thing that you're doing is that through all of that, you're teaching your client the skill and practice of celebrating herself, which is going to be with her hopefully well beyond your coaching relationship. And it's something that she's going to have for herself, hopefully for the rest of her life. All right, so all of this, I'm sure, sounds all easy, fun, good, yay, we get to celebrate our clients and help them feel celebrated, and it helps them feel so good. But in sacred depths, we look a little bit deeper than that. So here's the thing. People in general have a lot of trouble celebrating. They have obstacles up the wazoo in being able to truly, not like surface, like, yay, let's celebrate, you know, like just write down a celebration, right? But to really take it in, to really internalize it. There's so many obstacles to that. And that's precisely why celebrating is such an important coaching skill. Again, because people really have trouble just doing it on their own, right? Like, as coaches, we get to help them do it, right? So that's why it's an important skill. But it's also what makes it challenging in a way. Because as the coach, you need to understand the human behavior behind celebrating, as well as your own behavior and beliefs around it, in order to know how to navigate the skill successfully for your clients. And Connie was starting to bring this up in her share. If you don't understand human behavior around celebrating, and you don't understand, you don't know how to navigate the human behavior behind celebrating and how people hold themselves back from it, then you can run into trouble. The celebration can either end up shutting down your client or pissing them off. You may have had that situation before where you, like, honor, you know, you celebrate something that they've done, and they're just in so much self-judgment or anger, whatever it is about something else, or they're just not good at celebrating that it literally shuts them down or pisses them off. Or it might be that they lose trust in you. They just think that, you know, again, excuse my potty mouth, that you're just blowing sunshine up their ass, right? They just can't take it in, so they end up not trusting you because of that. Or here's the worst one. They agree with you, right? You celebrate, you use the code, you celebrate, but like silently, they're not really taking it in. They're not really serious about it. Down the line, it's going to erode the progress that you make with them. So why do people have trouble celebrating? Well, number one, we tend to focus on the negative and what is it working? It's a human behavior. There's actually been studies on all different levels and all different ways down to the cellular, like just looking at single cell amoebas, but this also applies to people. These studies show that we, like, we're programmed, unless we do something about it, we're actually programmed to go towards pain versus to go towards pleasure. We have to reprogram ourselves as human beings to focus on the positive and celebrate instead of focusing on the negative. Our natural tendency as human beings is actually to focus on the negative, believe it or not, right? That is a scientifically proven. Another reason why some people may have trouble celebrating is that they may get like an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged. They may feel really uncomfortable, even though they desire so deeply to be seen, heard, and loved. They actually might feel uncomfortable when they're seen, heard, and loved. They may desire it, but there's a fear rolling around in there that's saying, don't see me. Or if you see this in me, then you're going to find out I'm a fraud because I'm actually, like, that was a fluke. It's not going to happen again. Right? That kind of thing. So some people can actually feel really uncomfortable celebrating themselves or being celebrated. And then for some people, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't want to set ourselves up to be hopeful and then fail. We don't want to jinx ourselves, in essence, right? Like, some people don't want to celebrate because then they may fail afterwards. Another obstacle that people have to celebrating is that maybe they were taught that it's really obnoxious and egocentric to think really highly of themselves and their accomplishments. Like, they think they're a bad person or too self-centered if they celebrate themselves. For some people, there might be an evil eye thing going on. I have a client like that who, like, it took us, she's a long-term client. We've been working together now for 7 years. She's built an incredible business over the years. But literally in the first year when she had, like, forward movement with, like, real, like, big cash coming in, she didn't want to tell me, not because of me, but she was just scared of the evil eye kind of thing. Like, oh, my God, if somebody finds out, then it's going to go bad, that sort of thing. another obstacle to celebrating is, like, we just don't really think it's that good. We, you know, it comes so naturally to us, or it's so normal that we don't get that it's a big deal and it's something to celebrate. Another obstacle to celebrating is that we don't really know how to receive. We have trouble receiving compliments, acknowledgments. We have trouble receiving being seen and heard. We'll go into that later on in the program, but that's a real biggie for people. And then the other obstacle to celebrating is that people think they don't have time for it. Sometimes when I first start with a client, I spend like 2 minutes wanting to acknowledge and celebrate. I can hear the anxiousness in her voice, like, let's get on to the strategy. I've got things I need to figure out here. Like, that we think that, like, life is too quick. There's too many things to do. It's not worthwhile to our time, right, to take the time to celebrate. Of course, that's not true. So I lay out all of these obstacles to celebration for you because it's important for you as a sacred depths coach. If you want to go deep with people, if you want to be really effective, I want you to understand the human behavior, or, you know, different types of human behavior, responses, reactions, so that you can already start to anticipate, you know, the more that you're using your listening skills, right, you're going to anticipate, all right, my client is great at celebrating. She loves to do it. Or, no, like, she actually has that evil eye block, or she has that block of, you know, it's obnoxious, or, you know, whatever it is. And then you'll be able to modulate the phrasing that you use, how you present the celebration, how you work with that, you know, honoring that client's celebrations based on understanding her human behavior. But what I want to do next, now that I've kind of laid all of this out, is let's just do a little bit of inner work. We'll do some journaling. I'm just checking the time here. Okay, let's do some journaling. Because, as I said earlier, to be able to truly celebrate someone else, to be able to really be able to celebrate our clients and to do it in a really effective and powerful way, you have to feel comfortable both celebrating others as well as celebrating yourself. The two go together. So let's look at some of these questions. First question, take a moment on how and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? Next question. When you were celebrated by your family of origin, what was their motivation in celebrating you? And what I mean by that is, were they celebrating you in order to be truly supportive of you? Were they celebrating you to pretend that everything was okay when it really wasn't? That's what I call blowing sunshine up your ass. Were they celebrating you to pressure you to continue to perform well? Were they celebrating you to compare you to your siblings or others in your family to make others feel bad? Was there another motivation? So when you were celebrated, what was their motivation? As far as you can guess. Next question, what was the spoken or unspoken message behind the ways that you were celebrated or not celebrated. What was the message behind the ways that you were celebrated or not celebrated? Next question, how did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves and their accomplishments? What did they model for you? What did parents or other role models model for you when it came to celebrating? I know I'm going through these quickly. We still got a bit to cover today, but I'll ask one or two more questions. Next question, how did role models or authority figures respond to you if you celebrated yourself? How did others, it can really be anyone, how did others respond to you if you celebrated yourself? Were they happy that you were celebrating yourself? Did they somehow let you know that you were getting too big for your britches? Did they feel threatened if you were celebrating yourself? Were they scared you might jinx yourself? It's a very Jewish thing. Like, you say something good, and then you spit on the floor, poo, poo, poo. You know, like it wasn't said. You don't get the evil eye, right? So how did others respond when you would celebrate yourself? Two more questions I'll ask you for now. Do you tend to focus more on the negative or on the positive, on assets or on deficiencies? Like, if you were to rate, let's say rate yourself, you know, 10 being you're totally focusing on the positive, focus on assets, 0 being totally focus on the negative and on deficiencies, where do you lie on that? And actually, let's do two of these, just so you can see for yourself. So the first one is for yourself, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you fall? And then the second is generally when you're working with clients or with others, where do you tend to fall on that scale? Just for you to know and see. And then last question for now, how do you receive compliments and acknowledgments? Do you take it in real easy and agree and celebrate? Do you feel embarrassed? Do you get upset that there's being too much attention being put on you? Do you not trust the other person? Do you feel like they're just trying to get something from you? How do you receive compliments and celebrations and acknowledgments? All right. Hopefully these questions brought up some good juicy stuff for you, stirred some things up, brought up some revelations. I want to hear shares, but there are a few more things I really want to share with you on this call. So I'm going to get through those, and then we'll open up for shares and questions at the end. And also, please post your takeaways in the Facebook group. Use that resource. But for now, I want to just kind of give you some tips and pointers on when and how to celebrate with clients. So in terms of the when, I do it because celebrating is such a vital foundational piece, in my opinion, of coaching. I do it in a lot of different ways. So first of all, just even welcome questionnaire, you know, oftentimes one of the questions are like, what do you want to celebrate from the last year? What are some of your assets? What are your strengths? Just start there off the bat. It's also always a question. You know, I have clients, I think I've shared with you already, my clients fill out prep forms and submit them to me via email before our calls. And the very first question always on the prep form is, what would you like to celebrate since our last connection, since our last call? And usually the rule is they have to list, you know, at least three things, even if they have to search for it, right? Like to really, you know, sometimes they can easily this. Other times they've had like kind of a crappy couple of weeks. And so it's a practice in looking for what's worked really well, inner or outer. If I'm at the beginning of a project with a client, if we're about to go into a launch or a new this or a new that, one of the questions, we look at a lot of different things, but one of the things I'll ask are like, what are the assets that you're going into this with? Let me take a step back. On the prep forms, when they list celebrations, usually I will make note, like in the session that we'll have, I'll comment on one of the celebrations in one way or another. You know, I might say, I know that you wrote this, but I just wanted for us to celebrate together that you brought on five new clients, or, you know, whatever it is. It's one thing to acknowledge it for yourself. It's one thing to write it down in a prep form, but just to have 20 seconds to, or more, sometimes it's more, to just for us together to look at it, you know, once they've identified it, can be really powerful. I won't do it with every single little last celebration, but if it's something really notable and it's something I feel like I want to really acknowledge my client for, sometimes I'll just do it in a response, you know, an email response to the prep forum, but sometimes I'll bring it to the session. It's like something voice to voice that we really want to celebrate together. But if not, like I said, responding to the prep form is a great way to celebrate too, you know, to really make note of it. And then, of course, just as celebrations, forward movement, growth happens, just as it comes up in sessions, I'm going to take a moment to pause and reflect that back to clients. Just a few other things I wanted to share. I guess another one of my coaching philosophies that's related to celebrating is that it's really important for me as the coach to let my clients know in different ways how much I respect them, how much I honor them, how much I admire them, and how much I celebrate them. I really believe that one of our jobs as a coach is to support our clients in knowing that they are a person of value. I'm going to say that again. I know that in a way this is obvious, but I think it's also profound. one of our jobs as a coach is to let our clients know, to support them in knowing that they're a person of value. And so because of that, in addition to like more obvious celebrations, I will, you know, sometimes just mention you, I just respect you so much for blah, right? Something they did, or I admire you so much for, you know, your car, like you're always so courageous when it comes to blah, 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 right? I really, as the coach, am always cognizant of this and work and supporting my clients in this. The other thing I wanted to mention is that sometimes celebrations can look like cheering your client on, right? Like sometimes a coach is a cheerleader. Like, oh my, you know, it is so awesome that you blah, 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 right? But here's the thing. Always just do it with honesty and don't exaggerate it. As soon as you start to exaggerate it, your client is going to like sniff that out as bullshit in a second, and then you'll lose the trust. Sometimes a simple congratulations is the perfect way of celebrating. You know, I just really want to congratulate you on getting to sleep earlier the last 2 weeks. I know that was a really big goal. Yay, right? And then finally, I want you to think about this. Holding your client's vision for them is a way of cheering your client on and celebrating them. So one of your jobs is to continuously hold your client's vision for her. You've got this. You can do this. I know you can do this because XYZ, whatever their strengths, resources, past experiences, when you hold their vision for them, because there are going to be moments where they lose faith in their vision. There just are. It's human behavior. Holding their vision for them is a way of celebrating them. It's a way of acknowledging them. All right. We're almost at the end of our time. Take a moment. Write down your biggest takeaway from our call today. What are you really taking away for yourself? And then I'll give you some homework and we'll open up for sharing and Q&A. All right, so please post your takeaway in the Facebook group. I would just be so happy if you did, but I'll also make space for it in a moment. Let me give you your homework. First of all, there's an acknowledging worksheet that's coming your way. That should be in your members session. If not now, then soon. I'm going to post in the Facebook group. We didn't get today to some a way of you can use the new year as celebrate as a way of celebrating for yourself and with clients. So I'll just share some journaling questions around that I really want you to answer for yourself. And then if you'd like to use it with clients, it can be really effective. So I'll share that in the Facebook group. If you're working with a coaching partner, then, you know, the next piece I want you to add on this week is honoring what is and celebrating. And I want you to make sure to really be looking out for acknowledge any type of acknowledging you can do of honoring what is and celebrating. And then when you break down afterwards, you know, just one of the questions is to ask your partner, you know, how did it feel for you when I acknowledged? And you can, you know, give some examples. What else do I want to tell you? Next week, we are going to have a practicum. A creating awareness practicum, so get ready for that and to share a lot. Can't wait. And I think that's it. So I know that we're at time. If you've got to go, go. But I am going to just open up. If you have any questions or if you want to share a takeaway, I'll happy to hang on the line for a few minutes. Star two, any questions that you have for me or just anything you want to share before we wrap for today? Kara.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you for today. I really saw in the journaling questions my own resistance to being celebrated, and it rooted in some of my feelings from my mother that when she would do things for me or give me gifts, that it was rooted in her own kind of guilt about things that have happened in the past. And so sometimes when people are reflecting things to me, I have a natural skepticism about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this kind of tendency away from celebration with my clients and like wanting to get in there with them with the things that they feel bad about or need work on and like start there versus start more in the strength realm. So all that was really helpful. A lot of the clients that I work with, as part of our process is around their creativity and expression, have some strong inner critic elements coming through. And my question was around just to get your input on working with the inner critic and how, like, I'm wondering if you would agree that, like, actually building the celebration muscle would be a powerful way to work with the inner critic, not just celebrating them, but really, like, working with maybe a celebration practice for them on a regular basis would be a powerful way of meeting that versus, like, just dealing with the messages of the inner critic.
100%. So definitely you want to work with the inner critic, and we're going to get there in our rewiring negative thoughts module.
Right.
But celebrating is a way, a different kind of way of working with the inner critic. You're so right about that. It counteracts, what the critic is saying, and the more that you can build the celebration muscle, the less space the inner critic has, like there's less space for the inner critic to take up. So absolutely, sometimes with clients, I don't do this with every client, but with some clients we'll come up with a celebration practice for them. Usually I'll cap it, like it's not forever, because then people will fall away from it. This is a little bit like an accountability skill, but I'll say like for the next 2 weeks, right, or until our next session. And then
right.
we may continue from there, but you want to kind of give it a container, and you want to give very specific instructions around it. So I'll say something like at least 3 a day or at least 5 a day, you know, and then I'll say for each one, you know, I'll say I don't want you to spend a lot of time on this, right, so we can just like get that resistance out of the way. But what I don't want you to just list them out. For each one, take a moment, put your hand on the paper after you write down the celebration, and just breathe it in. Take it into your heart. Take it in to your body. Just really let yourself have this for you. So, yeah, I love that idea.
Great. And just it sounds like we're going to get to the inner critic later, but I mean, do you think this would, I'm just trying to frame, like, how the inner critic work versus the celebration work relate to each other?
So they can work really well together, because the inner, like, what we'll get to with the rewiring and inner critic is kind of like breaking the inner critic down. But the celebration, like I said, is just, you know, taking up the space with, like, better food instead of, like, not so good junk food. So, you know, like the more healthy meals you have, the less space there is for the unhealthy meals. But then you also want to deal with what's happening in the unhealthy meals. So that's one thing to think about. But the other thing is to think about creating awareness. Even if you've got someone who has a strong inner critic, you're not going to just assign celebrations because their inner critic is going to be all over that, right? You're going to have to pre-frame it. reflect some truth around it and say, I know your inner critic is going to like want to rip this to shreds.
Right.
Right? You just you want to reflect that truth. That's so normal for your critic to want to do it. So this is, you're going to have to put effort into this to really take this in, to really feel this, to make this important. You know, and let me just check in with you. Like, is this something that you want? Do you want to be able to celebrate yourself more? Because it is going to take work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you, everybody, for just wonderful call today, wonderful shares. I can't wait to hear more of your takeaways in the Facebook group. I'll post those New Year's questions for you. I am wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.